It's time for the truth. Will you join me in studying the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a beautiful day. I'm glad that you've joined us to study the precious Word. Nothing more exciting to do than to come together and study the sweet Word of God. We're in Philippians chapter 4. Once again, we're going to read verse 4 through verse 9. So if you'd please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. We'll be beginning with verse 7, but I need to read those verses before that so that you can see what we're coming up to. And while you're looking that up in your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's a joy to study the Word of God. We love to come together each opportunity that we have, and I hope that you don't miss any time and chance as we come together to study the precious Word. Again, now, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 4 through verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's begin with prayer before we start today. Father, I thank you that we can come together. I ask that you will show us your way. Oh, we want the truth. We want to have your power and your strength. And Father, the only way we can have your power and strength and wisdom, know what to do and where to go and when to go, and then the power to do it is to seek your will, do your will, Lord. And so I ask today as we study your word, that it's your living word, that you will guide and lead us, instruct us on how to live this day. You know, we worry so much, Father, about the days to come, but we're only promised today. And so today is the day that we need to be as close to you as we possibly can, and we need to surrender our heart and our life unto you. So please help us to do that today, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as I said, we're going to begin with the seventh verse. We have been through many things here, and just in a very quick review, of course, we have with the fourth verse, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And then we had, let your moderation be known unto all men. We started then in verse 6 there, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry, but in everything we need to take prayer and then supplication with thanksgiving. And that's what we talked about the last few weeks. And the joy of walking, and we need to recognize that each one of us have to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And in order to do that, we need to slow down enough and enjoy a precious, sweet time with Him, with our Bibles open, and study that Word and let the Holy Spirit speak to us and guide it and lead us and show us the way of the Lord Jesus. And a way to do that, of course, is to don't fret, don't worry about every little thing that's around. We do that. We worry about so many things. You know, I can't do this, or, boy, it's just impossible for me to do that. We need to turn it over to the Lord. If it's the Lord's will, it'll be done. If it's not the Lord's will, we don't need to be doing it anyway. But we need to spend our time in prayer with Him. And as we said last few weeks, and that is that this prayer is a time of earnest prayer. Earnestness and worship, adoration, all those things are a definition of prayer. And so when we come before the Lord, we need to come in that way with a humble, broken heart, and then to lift up our requests unto Him, and then to be giving thanks always for all the things that He has done for us. And when we walk so closely with Him, we can even thank Him for what He hasn't given us yet. It's a joy to be a believer in the Lord Jesus and to walk after the Lord Jesus. we have now in verse 7, and that's where we're going to begin today, and that is, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We wonder how we're going to stay right. How are we going to have the peace of God, and how do we have the joy of God? And as it says here, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It's all in Jesus. You know, today, why so many folks think there are so many different ways. There's different ways to be saved. There's different gods up there. And they say, well, if you believe in another God, if you believe in something that's contrary to this word, that's you're fine as long as that's what you believe. Well, that's a lie, and if you allow someone to believe that, you can't twist their arm, you can't convince them to change their line of thinking, but what you do need to do is take the truth to them and let God deal with their heart. If they're lost, if they're trusting in other gods, the gods of this world, if they're trusting in other gods, then they'll have no peace, they'll have no joy, they'll have no eternity. They're going to slip off and die one of these days, and when they do, it's going to be over. And they have already taken care of, because if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus here, your home will be hell for eternity. And I don't want that for anybody. I don't want that for my worst enemy. I want everyone to know the Lord Jesus and to come to Jesus and to be saved. But today, the devil is so busy at work, and I know that the time is short, and he is so busy in trying to get people to not believe the truth, to believe that there are many different ways that they can go to heaven, and many different ways, and the devil tries to convince a lot of people a lot of things. One is that you have to buy or work your way for salvation to get this peace of God, the peace of God we're talking about here in verse 7. Other ways that there is no life after death, and after you die, that's it. You just go to the grave and you rot away, and that's all. There is no life after death. All so many different directions and so many different things that people try to convince us, and then Satan comes in and tries to trick us as well, that the Word of God, the truth, that was for a different time, and so now we need to liberalize it and change it to our ways. Nobody teaches the Word of God anymore. Nobody stands upon the Word of God any longer. I ask that you be the one that's different. You be the one that stands upon the Word of God. You be the one that comes to Jesus by faith and is saved, and then follow the Lord in baptism and begin this sweet walk, this venture with the Lord Jesus that you'll have, and it's a sweet adventure that you, every day as you grow and as you study His Word, He begins to bring you from the evil condition that your heart was before you were saved, and He begins to cleanse your life and move you closer unto Him, that you can have His power and His strength, and you can have a freedom and a peace that you can't buy anywhere, no matter what you have. And to think here again in verse 7, and we're going to look up several things concerning the peace of God, but we have here in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That's the problem, and that's the problem today, that we have so much understanding. We're so smart that we're ignorant. We're so smart that we think we can figure God out. We're so smart that we think we can do better than God. God created us. God made the world. Now, will you please follow Him? And will you please trust in Him? The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful promise. Not only the rejoicing, but the time we spend with Him, the closer we get to Him, He keeps us. And He keeps our hearts, and He keeps our minds. Now, let's go to the peace of God. And we've got several verses of Scripture here that I want to look at. And as you know, if you've been around very long, you'll realize that we kind of take a verse at a time or a couple verses at a time and then look up many cross-references to that. And today we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the peace of God. We're going to look at the peace with God. We're going to look at the peace from God. And we need to, and at the very end then, if time will allow, we're even going to look at the time when we'll have peace on earth. You know, that's the desire of so many folks today, that we have peace on earth. Well, that peace isn't coming until the Lord Jesus plants his feet upon this earth and we begin the millennial reign. That's not going to come till then. I don't care who's in, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats or whoever's in office, it doesn't matter, because there'll never be peace upon this earth until that time. And so please that you listen to these as we look up these verses of Scripture today. Now we're at Matthew chapter 10. I'd like for you to open your Bibles to that place, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 10. We're going to read verse 33 through 39. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33 through 39. Listen to this very carefully. This is the peace of God. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And before we go any further, if you're saved, if you've come by faith to Jesus, only you and the Lord Jesus know. You know that you have been born again. But if you've kept it quiet, if you haven't shared it with maybe your spouse or your children, or maybe the place that you go to church, and you just kind of kept it to yourself, well, the first thing that should happen is that you should acknowledge with other believers that I am a born-again believer. I've come to know the Lord Jesus. I've been saved. And so once you've done that, then the next step, of course, is baptism. And it's important that you follow after the Lord Jesus in baptism. As you trust in Jesus and you walk after the Lord Jesus, then baptism is next. And the reason that baptism follows that is because it is an open testimony. The Lord Jesus himself was baptized by John to show that this is what you do. And every person that's come to the Lord Jesus should follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. And what that amounts to is they go down into the water. And as you're down in the water, it pictures the old self just the way you are. Well, when you go down, then you're standing in the water. Now you go down into the water. And you can tell right now, I believe in immersion, not sprinkling. You go down into the water, and that pictures how you die with Jesus. And then you come up out of the water, and it's the resurrection. And so it's such a beautiful picture. Now that's what you should do. And here I'm very concerned about many people that say they're believers, but you don't hear them confess Jesus to speak of. Maybe you've kind of heard it by the grapevine, so to speak, but they haven't come forward and acknowledged Jesus. They haven't come forward and say, I want to be baptized. I want to have a testimony that I know Jesus. And that's the means that God has started our walk, is through baptism. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You better be careful what that's telling you. Do you really know Jesus? Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. At the very beginning of that section, verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. This world is so wicked, and Jesus is just the opposite. Jesus is perfect. He has come to seek and to save all of mankind. And he died on the cross of Calvary that every one of us would have an opportunity to live, not die, but live. in Jesus, with the Lord Jesus, eternally. And that sweet life begins today. It begins the day you meet Jesus. You must meet him at the cross, because that's where he offered his life for yours. There was a price that had to be paid, and that price had to be paid. It was either your life, which wasn't enough, wasn't good enough, because you weren't perfect. Jesus is perfect. And when Jesus come to this earth, he come to save us. But we're not puppets. He gives every one of us an opportunity. And more, he gives some a greater opportunity than others. They are around it more. They hear it more. In this country, so often the gospel is presented, and so often you have an opportunity to pick up a Bible and read a Bible, where you can get into other parts of the world that isn't the case. But here we have such an opportunity where you're going to be held responsible because of those opportunities that you're avoiding, that you're staying away from. And what takes place when you come to know Jesus and your family doesn't? You're divided, because you're of Jesus and they're of the world. And from that time on, Jesus is more important to you than your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife. More important. Now, if the children and if the husband or the wife come to the Lord Jesus, then after that, then you're brought back together and you have such a joy and a peace, an exciting time as you grow together. But if they do not come to Jesus, you're divided. You stay divided. You have no fellowship with darkness. Jesus is light. I wish there wasn't a family out there, a family that's listening today. I wish there was no one that had a divided family. But I know better than that. But I'm asking you, friend, that you stay with Jesus. And you set your eyes upon the Lord Jesus. And you pray for that lost spouse. You live a life that's pleasing unto God, and pray that the power and the strength through you, the witness that you have, that it'll bring those children of yours, those grandchildren of yours, that they'll come to Jesus. They'll get away from whatever false religion they're following, if they're following any at all. It's kind of contrary to what they talk about today, unity and everybody getting along, isn't it? The only true believers are folks that come to Jesus by faith and by faith alone. People that are drawn by the Holy Spirit, convicted of their sin, and they confess that sin because they realize in the sight and the eyes of God that they're wicked. They confess that sin and Jesus saves them. It's the only way. If you have any other means, any other way, any other gods, you're hell bound. You're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire, and you're never going to have the peace. God did not come to this earth to bring peace. I hope that you'll follow after verse 39 of Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I hope that you find real life, and you can find it in Jesus today. I hope that you do that. Let's look at a peace with God. We need to go to Romans now. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I hope that you're turning your Bible, your pages of your Bible with me. Let's find out how that this peace with God can come. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get peace with God? With God the Father? Through Jesus and Jesus alone. That's the only way. Don't ever try to come up with another way or another means. It's the only way. Now come to Jesus today. Meet him at the cross of Calvary where he died there. How many times do you hear me say that? Well, when's it going to soak in? When are you going to listen? I hope that you listen today. Today is the day. How about the peace from God? the peace from God. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7. I hope that you're, again, turning your pages. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Peace from God. Paul knew the peace of God. He enjoyed it in his walk, no matter whether he was in prison or whether he was standing before a multitude preaching the gospel. He knew and experienced the peace of God. Look at the letter here we have. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we have the peace from God. If you will have peace with God, then you can have the peace from God. He's offering that peace. I don't know how that you're trying and attempting to raise your family and work and please your spouse and fulfill all the needs that you think you have. But no matter where you are in life, age, whether you're retired or whether you're still in grade school and you're listening today, high school, college, maybe you've just got out of college and you're ready to hit that workforce and make all kinds of money. No matter how much money, no matter how big a house, how big a car, how big a boat, that you might have, it will never bring peace. And that's the reason we spend so much time talking about the Lord Jesus coming to Him, because I want you to have peace. And you can have that peace today. You don't have to wait. You don't trust Him today and the peace arrives the day you die. That peace begins the day you meet Jesus and set your life upon Him. That peace will begin. Again, to all that be in Rome, beloved God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God. What a letter. Paul knew it. Paul lived it because he had peace with God. He'd made his peace. You hear people say that on occasion, you know, you better make peace with your God, especially if they're sick or something like that. Well, that's very true. But it's only through Jesus, only through the cross of Calvary. Please that you come to Jesus today. The peace of God is back in Philippians chapter 4. We have two different verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that's the first verse we read today. And it's the last verse, or it's the first verse we're studying today. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Don't you want that peace? A peace that goes beyond any man today. A peace that goes on beyond any computer, whatever's out there today, whatever's out there, you'll know the peace of God, to have the peace of God, that your hearts and minds through Jesus are kept. I want you to know and experience the peace of God. Please come to Jesus today and surrender your life to Him. Please do that today. Another verse concerning the peace of God is verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see how you get the peace of God? Come to the cross and surrender your heart to Him. Please that you do that today. We have a couple more verses of Scripture here. Another in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Look at a promise here of things to come. And this isn't just something that is to come way down the line. It's something that will come in your heart and in your life. As it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I hope these verses of Scripture today brings comfort to you. You know, so often you turn it off, you don't listen to the Scripture reading. Maybe when the preacher's preaching, that's a good time to catch a nap. I hope that you listen to the Word of God. It's the most powerful, exciting words that you can hear. Please that you listen. Listen very carefully. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament. John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, the comfort that we have. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world. Listen to that. Not as the world. It's so important that we hear the peace and we have the peace of God. Now, we have some verses of Scripture back here in concerning the peace on earth. And I have many verses of Scripture in Revelation. We're going to run out of time, but I'm going to begin them, and then next time we get together, we will follow and finish those and then continue from there. We have looked today at the peace with God that you must have. We have the peace from God that you have. We have the peace of God. And now we'll look at the peace on earth, because I've shared with you that this is something that man has desired and promised for so many years, all through the ages. But it'll never come until the day that Jesus comes again. Revelation 19, beginning to read with verse 11. Listen to this, and we're just going to begin. I hope that this has you with such a desire that you'll be back with us next time. You won't miss. Revelation 19, beginning to read with verse 11. And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Beautiful, sweet verses of Scripture. We're going to end there, and I'll probably read that next time we come together, because what's happening? The Lord Jesus is coming a second time. Now, he's going to come again and get you and me, and that's going to be 7 years before this. I hope you know the Word of God. I hope you've trusted in the Lord Jesus. I hope that you have walked each and every day with your eyes upon Jesus, looking and enjoying His power and His strength. But if you haven't, if you don't know Jesus, if you've went to a church that didn't preach the gospel, didn't stand upon the Word of God, my friend, today is the day of salvation for you. Will you please come to Jesus and be saved? My friend, I ask this question every time. What are you going to do about Jesus?